This podcast is brought to you by Florence Filter, the leading company in air filters. They care about your air and have been since 1971.
Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon Matloff in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Stella Oak Mavens podcast, where we feature different mavens in different fields. A maven is an expert of an expert. They are the go-to person who you would want to ask all the questions to before making a decision. The purpose of our podcast today is help the consumer be more knowledgeable. Today, I'm really excited to host Rick Merrill. Rick is the CEO and founder of Gavalytics, a judicial analytics platform that provides reports and insights to attorneys in order to help them win more cases. Rick graduated from USC with a degree in political science and then pursued his law degree at his crosstown rival, UCLA. Go Bruins. Before founding Gavalytics, Rick served as a litigator, spending 7 years at Greenberg Torig, where he specialized in real estate. And today, Rick will be sharing his experience as a litigator and the decisions he made to get where he is today and what inspired him to develop Gavalytics. Welcome, Rick.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to talk with you today.
Thank you. So your unique perspective as a litigator must have played a role in inspiring Gavalytics. Can you talk about how your experience shaped kind of your decision on starting this company?
Certainly. You know, like a lot of founders of startup businesses, I was angry about a problem in my industry. And perhaps the word angry isn't right, but I was annoyed and frustrated as a litigator by the fact that even at my multi-billion dollar law firm, we didn't know anything about the judges that we were in front of, which really didn't strike me as something that made a lot of sense. If you think about it, in really no area of our lives nowadays do we tolerate meaningful information gaps. We don't go to restaurants without checking Yelp. You know, we don't research or, you know, think about something without checking Google or all these other sources. Yet big sophisticated law firms would litigate in front of judges without knowing really detailed quantitative information about the judge. And so it really struck me as a problem that needed to be solved. And so that led directly to this business, because by the way, there's really nobody doing it for the most part. And so but there was certainly a business opportunity, but to answer your question in a short fashion, I can just tell you that there was a problem in our industry that really, really, really needed to be solved. And that's what we try to do.
The odds are definitely stacked against you when you're starting your own company. That's without a doubt, especially if you grew up, you know, going to school, then you went to law school, and then you were at a firm for a long period of time. You hadn't been building necessarily the same entrepreneur skills that you would be using now. So I guess that begs the question, when you were in college or when you were starting out right after school, was part of you always entrepreneurial? Were you looking for opportunities along the way? Or was it really 7 years in, you kind of figured something out and said, hey, this is a passion I'm excited about. Now I'm going to run with it.
Yeah, because of the business background in my family, I've always had an eye on business. And I spent 5 years working before I went to law school. So I graduated from USC in 2001 and went to work for a commercial lender. And then I worked for a holding company that owned a bunch of apparel brands. I had a brief detour in investment banking and all this. And so, you know, I have some level of financial experience and business background. And I also was a business minor at USC. Not that that adds a ton of value, but it's certainly more than nothing. And so, yeah, it's always been on my mind. And like a lot of people working at big law firms, I certainly was looking at the exit, you know, one way or another. And so, you know, just this opportunity presented itself, and it was too good to pass up.
If you could go back to, you know, undergrad or even law school, is there anything you would have done differently to put you in a faster pace position to do what you're doing now? Or is there anything you look back and you're like, man, I wish I changed this about something I was doing earlier on?
I would have majored in business. USC's got a great undergraduate business program at the Marshall School, and I got a little taste of that as a business minor. So I instead was a poli sci major, because I always did, despite the business interest, I always did intend to go to law school in some fashion, but the business major would have been a nice thing to fall back on if I didn't opt for law school or didn't enjoy being a lawyer. While I was in law school, really had a terrific experience. UCLA is an excellent, excellent law school, but if I have one regret, it's that I should have done the JD MBA program. UCLA, like a lot of big universities, has joint degree programs, and it would have added just a single year to my my time there. And at the time, I thought that I didn't want to spend another year at school, and I was already a little older than everybody since I had spent 5 years working. So I felt that that extra year might not have been something I wanted to do. But in retrospect, that was a mistake. I probably could have gotten in. I'd taken the GMAT and all that, but. So that would be one regret, but it's minor. I mean, life's fine. One of the biggest challenges that I think any business leader has, it truly is managing yourself and managing the daily ups and downs. And at a small new business like ours, you have ups and downs in the same hour, and so just being able to steady yourself and believe in the team and the mission and vision and all this is more challenging than I was expecting. And it's something that I suspect just about any business leader has personally experienced. And so for you entrepreneurs out there listening, realize that's coming no matter who you are. It's going to be a violent set of ups and downs, and just got to persevere.
I think one of the biggest challenges on managing yourself is doing it by yourself. Obviously, you had your wife to support you and brothers and some other mentors. But then in comes the value of having a personal or professional coach. And maybe on the next podcast, we'll put a professional coach in there to kind of weigh in on some of your comments. The next thing I want to do is really go into this rapid fire round. I'm going to ask you a couple quick questions, and I just wanted to get your knee-jerk reaction to the way I phrase some of these things. So real quick, share one of your personal habits that you believe has contributed towards your success in business.
Exercise.
What's your favorite book?
The Hobbit.
Ooh, nice one. Best financial advice you ever received?
Spend less money.
USC versus UCLA, who wins this year?
That's a ridiculous question. Of course it's USC.
All right. Thank you for playing the rapid fire round. So I want to get a little bit into the content of Gavalytics. So can you tell me, if I'm an attorney listening to this, or even, a business owner to sort of speak, could you tell me, why do I need it? Why do I need to know about the judge?
Sure. So what Gavalytics does, we're a state court focused product. So we analyze in great detail the California Superior Court judges throughout key counties in the state. And the reason we do that is, as just about any litigator will tell you, is that judges vary wildly from one another. Judge Brandon has had a different set of life experiences and judicial philosophy and legal education than Judge Rick. And you really shouldn't expect them to make the same types of rulings, even on the same facts and law. And lawyers know intuitively that judges vary a great deal from one another, but really until recently, there's been no way to measure that and know in advance, in a granular level, what the judge's tendencies are. So that's the value proposition that we have. We tell you in advance what the judge does and why. So we track, for example, how fast and slow the judge is. We track the judge's experience level with different types of cases. We track the rates at which the judge grants and denies over 100 different types of motions. We track the type of case law the judge tends to cite in their rulings on different things. We track how often they receive what are called peremptory challenges pursuant to CCP 170.6. We track what they do in bench trials. There's a lot that the product does. And products like this, or this sort of concept, is often referred to as money ball for lawyers. And so for any baseball fans out there, they'll know really what that means. And so it's just, if you're not familiar with the term, it's just really a statistically sophisticated way of viewing the world. And that's what we do here. We can necessarily tell you in advance what the judge's tendencies are, and then a skilled lawyer can know what to do. You know, you wouldn't try to persuade a judge who doesn't like issue X in the same way that you would persuade the judge who does. You know, so just there's all these different decisions that you can make or not make as a result of having this information. And so it really, you know, our whole goal is to make good litigators better, to help them win more cases, win more business. Because by the way, one of the principal ways that this product is used is to impress clients. So, you know, when you're trying to convince IBM to hire you to represent them in a piece of litigation, if you can come in and say, look, here are all the facts we know about Judge Brandon. Here's our strategic and tactical decisions we're going to make specific to Judge Brandon. You really set yourself apart as a lawyer and law firm. And that's what we're hearing from a lot of our AmLaw 100 clients, that they like this thing in large part because of its ability to generate business.
So before we wrap up, would you like to share, you know, if someone's interested in learning more about Gavalytics, or an attorney is or their firm is curious about this software and how it can help them, is there a resource you can point them to, or what's the best way for them to get in contact with you or your firm?
Yeah, certainly. So the name of the business, again, is Gavalytics. So it's Gavelytics. The website is gavalytics.com. There's a video demo on there. It shows you how the product works. If you want to speak with us, you can email info@Gavalytics. You can email me directly. I'm just Rick@Gavalytics. Our office phone number is 310-314-0179. So we're pretty easy to reach, and we sell primarily to AmLaw 100 firms, which for the non-lawyers listening, that's the list of the 100 largest law firms in the world. But we do also have prices and packages available for smaller and mid-sized firms. And so we try to make this stuff available for everybody.
Awesome. Well, thank you for participating today. This has been a Stella Oak Mavens podcast. We empower you, the listener, to take control of your life.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please stay tuned for the long version to release this Friday.
You can follow our Instagram @Stella Oak Mavens for updates and more information about the podcast.